Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I just want to say that I'm so sad that I missed Paris' wedding. It would have been beautiful.
I didn't want to bring much shame.
I didn't want to bring the shame on something that would have been so...
Okay. Real talk, though, I felt bad for EJ Global in that moment. That was the first moment I've ever felt an ounce of empathy for her.
You were feeling empathy last season.
I swung back and forth. It was a wild bipolar ride last season where I was
Which much describes her yeah. quite... Frankly,
I was right there with her. Mm-hmm. But like this moment, I was like, oh, this is truly vulnerable, even though it's yeah. like couched in like layers of booze. It's like that's the most real I've ever seen her about any of this.
Yeah, I felt bad for it.
I was like, that's sad.
From one drunk to another, I felt.
Yeah,
I felt I've been there. I felt that just complete sorrow and like desolation. Mm-hmm. And it was wafting off her, and I think everyone felt bad for her in that moment.
Yeah.
Even Garcelle.
I think it's Christmas, bitch.
Yeah.
It's hard. Holidays
are hard.
Everything.
She probably doesn't talk to her family right now. It doesn't seem like she's in touch with them.
Who is her family?
Her son.
Oh, her cousin.
Her mom.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know them.
I mean, Tom, you know, that must have been like a big... Anyway, we'll get to it. What did I want to talk to you about? Oh, the name on everybody's lips is gonna be Prince of Pegging.
Yeah.
So, big scandal erupting overseas in the Emerald Isle. I guess Prince William, because we all know he allegedly had that affair with Kate Middleton's best friend, Rose, something, that Marquisa.
Yeah.
She basically is like a copy of Kate Middleton, in a sense, just like more wild looking. But I guess it came out today via Des Moines had some blind item, and there's other leaking tabloid fodder coming out that apparently Prince William is into pegging.
As he should be.
No, and there's nothing,
every single man should be and experience it once to see if you like it. You probably will.
Every man, regardless of your proclivity, should know what it's like to get fucked.
You should just have something tickle your prostate. I'm just saying, you will probably love it. And if you don't, that's fine, but at least you tried it. Just like I think every woman should put a strapless dildo on so that it feels like you have a dick and peg a man. I think that it's really good to know what it's like to be the penetrator versus the penetratee. And Britain is so like puritanical.
Well, yeah,
and
obviously
fucking weird about
we think we're bad.
No, we're like, you can fuck, but it must be clouded in shame. And if you get pregnant, good fucking luck with that.
And but in
like
England,
Britain
they're like,
is like, We don't talk about anything. We never have sex. We're frigid. Yeah.
Oh, and then when someone does, they go, oh.
Yeah, it's like, this is 2022.
I mean, I'm sure there's, who knows if it's true.
I feel like Megan started this rumor.
It could be.
Has Megan written all over it. This is her grand revenge plan.
Straight from Santa Barbara.
She Morse coded that shit to people in the UK.
Because even if it's not a big deal, like, to them it is a big deal because he's the heir.
Well, and like, ass rumors about men in the public eye are always meant to be like a takedown thing.
Well, it's homophobia.
Yeah, but it's also just there's something also just about, because it is kind of homophobia, but it's also not. It's just like men getting shit in their butts, which a lot of like straight or like bisexual men like to do.
It's feminine. It makes them, it like feminizes them.
Yeah, it's like, and people always also hate, remember women, like the Richard Gere gerbil rumor.
I was just gonna say that.
Yeah, there's, I mean, I feel like I grew up, and in middle school there was like some kid that everyone was like, he puts baby carrots in his butt. Like, there's always like a butt rumor floating around about a man that's meant to truly destroy them.
Yeah, and like, this is the kind of thing, but this is, even though it's like, it shouldn't be, in an ideal world, no one would care, but because he is the future king, and he's like, you know, puts on such an air of like doing everything right. So the idea of him getting plowed is like kind of funny.
Yeah, but I'm like, that makes me like him more. I'm like, go off, king. Literally.
Literally.
I'm like, go get your fucking hole filled and serviced. That's dope.
And I like the idea of knowing Kate knows that he's into this, but probably is like, go seek that elsewhere. But like,
she's like,
love that for you. I mean, does Kate...
They are so sexless to me that it's like almost impossible to imagine any of them having sex.
Well, Kate and William, when they were younger, were hot.
Yeah.
And they looked like they were fucking.
And they were like young and drunk and free.
Meghan and Harry, when you see them, regardless of what you think...
Also sexless to me.
Oh, see, I think when they're together, I'm like, these two fuck. They have like a... Their chemistry seems real.
Yeah.
William and Kate, I think maybe they had that at one point, but I'm sure the trauma of their everyday lives and like the prison that they both live in has just eroded any kind of like affinity for each other.
Well, he's becoming more and more Prince Philip like with every passing second. So
he's becoming Poltergeist man
in
the hat.
He is the man in the hat.
Yeah.
And you Kate... like go into a office building that's haunted and you push an elevator button and suddenly Prince William, man in the hat, is there. And the only way to get him to stop bugging you is to just fuck him right in the ass.
But the good news is good and bad news. Bad for us because we used to all love how Prince William looked. But the good news for Kate Middleton is as he gets uglier, she just gets better looking.
Yeah.
And gets thinner.
She's defying gender stereotypes. They are truly...
They're reversed.
They are reversed.
Because usually the men...
Maybe they're like the most radical couple out there.
They might maybe more subversive than we even are giving them credit for.
Because like, she gets hotter with age. He gets... No comment.
She looks better now than she did when she was...
She just gets better and better and better.
Her hair is incredible.
He is wasting away. But he also is just loves taking it right up...
The poop shoot.
And like proudly get
I mean we don't know. I love that word, like he made some.
Well, you told me as though you reported to me on text as though it were fact.
Look it up on Google really quick.
No, I trust you.
It's not it's there's a
it I was, trust you that it's like trending.
It was the number one
saying.
Trend on my Twitter was Prince of Pegging. Which I just love because I would love like to hear the Sky News people.
About this
about.
Just in.
This just
apparently
in.
Prince William enjoys getting pegged.
And all the, as they say, MPs in Parliament just quietly giggling about it.
It's as like, though like they haven't had like a yeah. finger on the hole.
Or like get shit on.
Like
all politicians are like depraved. Getting depraved people probably doing things that like we, you know, you immediately go to like scat or something.
They're like
they're doing
drinkers.
Something worse.
Yeah. But like go off.
I love it. I'm like, go, I'm here for it. I just like, it just makes me laugh because they just can't catch a break.
Mm-hmm.
They fuck themselves all the time. And then when stuff like, with things that are legitimate,
this is like throat
like,
goat style.
It is. And it's like, they actually, you know, they're the true horrors of this like institution of their like virulent racism and like colonialism and just ancient like fuckery. When you throw in something that's like kind of benign, like getting pegged, it just is funny.
Yeah.
It adds to it in like a funny way.
Or just like giving head to everyone that you've ever met. Like, why is like, there is some weird correlation, though, between, like, why is it so funny to start, like...
Sex rumors
about people.
Because it's funny.
Yeah.
Because it's specifically with people that are, like Nancy Reagan and Prince William, both... their image that they both created and was created for them was of, like, demure, upper crust, very, like, sort of pure. And I think when you hear about Nancy Reagan, who in, you know, her later life was just this like smiley old thing,
mm-hmm.
the fact that she was like deep throating half the MGM lot allegedly is funny.
Yeah, I guess hers is like post-mortem, so it's like a little bit different, but like an active sex room, I'm trying to think of like what other like active sex rumors I've heard recently about like celebrities.
I mean, I've heard stuff that I can't repeat.
Yeah.
I've heard, okay, I heard a rumor once that there was a celebrity who's like a major star who likes women to shit on a glass table that he's laying under.
I've heard a lot.
Have you heard that?
I've heard a lot of shit rumors around this person.
There's always like a juicy sex rumor going around, and there haven't been that much recently, I don't think, because things are so different now in like celeb tabloid culture. But I do think there's like some ones that prevail that I love.
And I think that weirdly, I want to say that those sex rumors stick to men and happen more about men.
They do.
And they do women. And that is kind of a great equalizer as well.
It's
because
great.
I can't think of like truly in modern day times, like sex rumors being started about women that are like
kinky.
About like kinky or like dirty, depraved acts. But like every once in a while one comes, and this is like Nancy Reagan aside because she was dead. But like every once in a while one comes along about a man and it will stick to them forever. And that's kind of punk.
It is cool. And I think, unfortunately, like the rumors about women are always like that they're she's a slut or something. But with men, it's always like he likes.
Yeah, but like everyone's a slut.
Yeah.
So.
But I'm saying that's like the double standard.
I know. But when you get older, those slut rumors are like, who cares?
Of course. No, I'm not saying I care. I'm just saying that's the difference. Is like with a man, it's something crazy that's embarrassing. But with a woman, it's usually just like she's a homewrecker. She's a...
Yeah, I guess like homewrecker. But even then, no one really cares. Like, it's not... I feel like once you reach a certain age, it's not a good or bad thing to be a slut or be rumored to be a slut as a woman.
But also, fortunately for William, that we live in a world where crazy shit happens every day. So even if this is trending right now and people are talking about it, it might just fall through the wayside.
Mm-hmm.
Because back then, there wasn't as much in the news. So it's like, if you heard the gerbil thing, it sticks. Just, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I feel like this sticks.
You think there'll always be a whiff of pegging?
I think when you go viral, if it's like truly going viral.
Bro-go vibes.
Yeah, then it's just like becomes part of the lore.
Mm-hmm. Prince of pegging. Prince of Wales,
like,
Prince of pegging.
There's really nothing at this point that's like that sexually shocking. What's crazier is that Prince Andrew, like,
yeah, no, that is like legitimately shocking.
Like, that's legitimately shocking. He's like a sex trafficker who fucks underage
pedophile.
Women, and like everyone, that's really not sticking to him.
I mean, honestly,
he's just out there riding horses.
And we all know how like dirty the royal family plays. And
they are throwing the queen. Someone started this
No,
rumor,
I'm saying it's like what
and
if,
it might have been Queen Elizabeth her damn self.
She went willing to take one for the team. No pun intended.
He goes, "What are you going to make me do, Grandmama?" And she goes, "You like to get pegged."
Well, because everyone, people thought that they, Meghan sort of took the brunt of it. To,
well, now she's out. She well, said, now she's out. I've had quite enough of that.
But I wonder if, again, it's to deflect because Prince Andrew, I think his trial is coming up.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, that is, it's legitimately shocking that that's not a bigger deal.
That we aren't talking about that every single day.
That the a senior member of the British royal family is like
implicated in one of
the worst things ever.
Yeah.
Just bar none.
But also it's like there's so many other people that.
Oh, no, of course. But like that is, and he was like blatantly lying to.
And instead you can start like a Twitter campaign about Prince of Pegging that like takes all of the like attention away from the real thing.
Epstein.
Yeah.
It's sick. All
sick. My tinfoil hat's on.
My
we
tinfoil
just got
hat has
to the
been
fucking
on all week.
Bottom of it, everything.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A new quarter brings new goals, but what about your skincare goals? Small, easy changes in your routine can have amazing results, and your secret weapon should be Dime Beauty.
Dime Beauty is clean, high-end skincare that is affordable, and it really works. Dime didn't sacrifice performance just to make it clean, either. And when I say clean, Dime is 100% transparent about every single ingredient, so you can use their products daily with confidence. I have been using Dime Beauty's TBT cream and their Dewy Daily Cream. TBT cream is a retinol alternative that I put on at night before I go to bed, and it's actually been making my skin look glowy and snatched, if I do say so myself.
I've noticed that, and I think our listeners have noticed too, because I've been picking up on a bunch of TikTok comments that have been like, you're glowing recently. So hats off to Dime. No one has time to remember the order of a 10-step skincare routine. The Work System from Dime Beauty has everything you need in one powerful package. It includes a gentle cleanser, a toner, two incredible serums, and two luxurious moisturizers.
Plus, my favorite, Dime's TBT cream, is finally back in stock. Check that out while you're there.
Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally all 5 stars. This year, love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com now and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods. I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/sexyunique. My tinfoil hat has been on all week.
Without what else?
Just like lots of things.
You're starting to see. Your eyes are starting
to open. I'm not.
You're starting to really understand the way things are working.
Oh my God. No, I just like, just with, I mean, it's, I'm just noticing like on social media, like things are weird.
You're just now.
No. Specifically like this week.
Like what? The vibes are weird this week.
Monkeypox, there's this weird trend I'm seeing right now that there's this, and I don't want to get too much into it. It's kind of funny in like a satirical way, but it's also like shunking. There's this weird trend I'm seeing of these like big, you know, hundreds of thousands of followers, resistance accounts, these like liberal and like blue checkmark liberals and like people that write for reputable places. Straight people, you know, like cishet kind of liberal, there's this weird trend that a lot of them are like, it's actually very problematic that the health departments are targeting the LGBT community, specifically LGBT men, with, you know, requirements for getting vaccine is that you are a man that has sex with man. There's something wrong with that. It's not a STD. It's not a gay disease. It should be, the vaccine should be available for all of us, not just gay men. And like, they're literally like, I've seen people literally call that the health departments and like the seat, like they're issuing warnings for men who have sex with men. They're calling that like problematic. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, it's,
I'm like, well, that's where it's happening.
It's where it's happening. And it, there's no like, the sooner we just acknowledge that, like, right now it's a primarily queer male disease.
Yeah.
And like, or just a queer, you know what I mean? And that these people, it's like these liberal people, and it's you know, on the right side they're just being homophobic straight up, but like this is almost like homophobia under the guise of virtue signaling.
Yeah.
And it's like they want to insert themselves in the narrative and make it about them and being like, our children are in danger, why are they just, you know, they're just being slandering and being, you know, targeting gay men, like it's one more thing the gays need, like we should all be getting this, it should all be for us. And it's like, why are you making this about you? It's not about you right now.
Yeah.
It's not. And there's like weird misinformation going around where they're like, you know, this is going to blow up. It's not an STD. There's a hashtag like monkeypox is not an STD. It's like, it is right now. It's spreading primarily through sex.
Yeah.
And it's making me actually crazy that I'm seeing people who are like, have verified, like, you know, polished resume of work that are tweeting against vaccines being catered to gay men and bi men and like trans men, you know what I mean, and transgender people.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's blowing my mind. It feels like satire. It's like they're like, shut up gays, we will defend you now against getting what you
need.
No,
that's like the whole vibe on Twitter, like what it's been for almost every issue that comes around is like spearheaded by these people that think that they're like brave warriors doing something right, taking on the cause. And it's like, shut the fuck up. Just shut the fuck up.
It's not about
every
you.
Every time I log on to Twitter,
I know.
Every time I even get like a New York Times alert, I literally, my genuine reaction at this point is shut the fuck up. Like, something doesn't make me immediately want to say shut the fuck up, then I'm like, oh, okay, that's like worth my time. But like, literally everything, I'm just like, shut the fuck up.
I saw this person who's like a writer for like a science magazine or like Washington Post or something, and she literally was tweeting like,
oh, well, wow, come on, Washington Post.
Well, no, but like, she was like, wow, really, like really awesome that the CDC is basically like, come on, gay sluts, get your shots. It's like,
What? Yeah, come on, gay sluts. Get your fucking shot.
But it's also like, one, you just, it feels like you just wanted to say gay sluts. And two, like, so what? We should all be getting this. It's happening to us. It's a horrific thing that gay men are dealing with.
They're
right now.
You're heading the monkeypox movement.
But it's not like, why are, it's like, it's, and it's these people being like, this is an emergency that affects us all. And it's like, yeah, it might, but right now let's get the problem at hand and nip it in the bud before it does. And that means helping
first
us out, helping the gay, bi,
first
trans
the gays,
men.
Then the girls, then everybody. So let the gays go first. It's Sex and the City rules. I don't make the rules. SATC does.
But it's just, it's, and that makes me, it actually, and I know like other, and a lot of people have been talking about it, thank God, and like been saying, so I feel like less crazy because I think other queer men and queer people who have sex with men are sharing the same sentiment of like, you're making us all crazy right now because
yeah.
You're basically speaking on speaking for us.
Just
and it's
shut
like,
the fuck up.
No, shut up.
Yeah.
It's let us handle it. Let us deal, like we are dealing with it.
Just
what?
Nothing. Just people on.
It's just that, and that is what's making me put my tinfoil hat on because I'm like, you, it feels like some weird. It feels like, to me, it feels like just veiled homophobia.
Well, it's just also,
like,
it's just all engineered to make you feel weird like, and shitty.
And like a victim or like some kind of like, I don't, like, I'm good with getting a vaccine. Yeah. I'm not offended by a requirement to get a vaccine is that you fuck men. I'm like, great, I'll get it. That's what I do. You know, it's just, and
I just can't
it's crazy
take that
making.
Kind of behavior. Like,
no, I know. It's just, it's crazy. And like, we're already getting, you know, we don't need.
It's about everything now. Every single topic has this breed of person that comes out of the fucking woodwork to like spiel their fucking bullshit. And it's just like, shut the fuck up. No one asked you. I literally don't care what you think. And you're not helping anyone by like taking on this cause, and like, you're not Joan of Arc, you dumb fucking idiot.
No,
shut
and it's
the
like
fuck up.
And then on the other, it's like a haunted house on the other side.
I would rather have like hateful, hateful people are kind of funny sometimes.
I don't,
there's nothing even ironic, like, there's no irony in like just a person that's like virtue signaling.
Oh.
There's irony and bigotry because it's like so, it's so 1.0.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want on either side, I'm afraid.
I'd rather not. I mean, I'm not saying. Like, I'd rather not have any bigotry, but like, at least that is like, you can, there's ways of looking at it that are, it's just like more ironic.
Well, I guess in the terms of it being just clear-cut bigotry and clear-cut homophobia or misogyny or rape, you know what I mean? But, and on the left, it's more like...
The left is just, like, annoying.
Obscured and sort of, like, you have to read between the lines. It's a little, but it's, both sides are crazy-making, and I feel I'm in a fun house.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's my tinfoil rant. That's why I wear my hat.
Yeah, that's why you put your hat on, why I get out of bed.
You feel me, though?
I don't know. I can't be on Twitter. All like, right. For that very reason. Because almost every single person on there is just, like, deeply annoying in that same way. It's turned into just, like, a place where it's, like, we're fighting the fucking fight. And it's, like, you're literally typing and going online on a little website to, like, put things on it. Like, you're not... No one is, like, changing the world on Twitter.
I am.
Yeah, except for you.
Mm-hmm.
But like people thinking that like their tweets are like so important and like moving the needle. I'm like, do you guys understand? Like,
if I see a thread, a little like, I'm like, oh.
Do you even know like what this is? People literally open their computers and are like, now it's time to tell them a thing or two. Put their little tweet there, go, oh, how do I make it 100 character? Ooh, there it goes. Perfect. This is really going to change things. It's like, this is a fucking website, you dumb fuck. Like, nothing has changed. It's just insane. And everyone participates in it. And I really am like the only people, like, unless you're entertaining, log the fuck off.
Agreed.
Like, get log the fuck off. Just fuck off. I can't take it.
Say it again.
Fuck off.
All right, that's enough of Twitter talk. Thank you. Thank you for hearing me.
You are heard. You are valid.
Sister.
You are changing things.
I am changing.
One tweet at a time.
I'm changing the needle with all
You've
my...
changed the world.
With all my Parker Posey reactions, I'm changing the things.
There's a shift.
I still have fun on Twitter.
I know. I love that for you.
Thanks. Bitch.
I can't relate. I had my fun, and then...
Once in a while, I see a little person.
Sometimes, if I take enough Vyvanse, I feel the need to tweet, but rarely does that happen.
You're a big retweeter.
I love a retweet. I love getting compliments on Twitter. It happens sparingly, but it does happen some.
I had a DM conversation from some rando that was like, came for me for something, and their name was Tracy Tracy. And and this is where my comebacks are now getting. I went, shut up and leave me alone, Tracy Tracy.
Mm-hmm. It's just like, it's just a hub of negativity, mostly.
It is.
Without, like, you're an entertaining person on there, and there are entertaining, fun people that I'll log on to just catch up on what they're up to. But across the board, it's just like, you literally, people exist on there to just make other people, to establish their moral high ground and make other people feel bad. Or they're there to, like, issue death threats and, like, be, like, racist or homophobic and make people feel bad in that way. And it's just like,
it's bad. It's like, what? It's the salt and sea.
Yeah,
we're all just, and it's kind of looking into like, this is the death knell of culture and like our society as a whole, and it's just all the gasping smelly fish.
There was like a big data breach or something recently too on Twitter. Like I just read about like some hacker collective or something like got a shit ton of people's Twitter data.
Speaking of hackers, I feel like Sutton is a hacker on the down low.
What if she was?
Let's get into it.
Okay.
I'm Kari.
I'm Lara.
And you're listening to
Sexy Unique Podcast.
Beverly Hells Angels. We come back up on the Christmas party of the year at Diana's, at Lady Diana's, and Erica is just turned. She's continuing to yell at Crystal about what she can't eat because of her eating disorder.
I'm obsessed. One of the best things to ever happen on all of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills is, you can't have this. It's a chicken tender.
And she keeps going,
I love that. That's like, I was like, that's me.
We go from that to about 30 seconds later, Kathy goes up to Sheree and she goes, hi, it's so good to see you again. And Sheree goes, I don't think we've ever met.
She goes, good to see you. When was the last time I saw you? And Kathy goes, I never forget a face.
And Sheree goes, no, I don't think we've actually met before.
They've never met.
And I was like, damn, the editors are coming for Kathy because they did that edit where she thought Garcelle was someone like...
She thought Garcelle was Kyle.
Or so she says.
I'm ready for the Kathy takedown.
It's happening.
I love being just a fucking fair weather fan for literally everyone on reality TV.
I know.
Have no allegiances and no loyalty.
That's where it's
gotten. I will literally give an interview to Molly Lambert for Bustle and be like, Kathy's it. We love her. We stan. And then 6 months later, be like,
she's going down.
She's going fucking down and I'm ready to see her burn in a pile of flames.
It actually... it almost took my breath away. It was so uncomfortable. And Cherie took it in stride.
No, Cherie's playing it all right.
I loved it. But Kathy goes, I never forget a face. I was like, Kathy, you need to go home.
Kathy.
She's unbelievable. She only,
I bet she won't stick around for like next season.
No. It's the writing's on the wall with what that whole, like, it's almost, it's like, it's chunking.
I need Faggate now. Yeah. I was like, when are the ladies going to Aspen? I was waiting for like next week, the ladies go to Aspen. And I'm like, when is this happening? I crave it deep in my bones. I need the Kathy Hilton takedown to begin.
Is it Sutton's assistant that gets called Fag?
I don't know.
I feel like she says something. I think it's because he keeps being featured. So I feel like he has something to do with what's coming.
No one is safe from the wrath of Ms. Hilton.
I never forget a fag I face.
What did she say to Lisa? I need it now.
I don't know.
Asher takes to the stage.
It's very reminiscent of David and Yolanda Foster's sing-along night.
I was literally like, no. But then he wasn't actually bad.
No,
he was
good.
Pretty good. Kathy's moved to tears, crying.
He's just, and there's nothing wrong with this, but he is so gay.
Yeah.
He said to Erica, he was like, girl, sit down, girl. I was like, oh my God.
Is Michael Bublé gay?
No.
He's just like, I think some guys like that are just cheesy straights, that Reed is gay.
He might be bi.
Yeah, but like even like Bublé was like,
yeah, I
you
think
know
Asher,
what I mean?
Asher is just like a musical theater straight, like Lin-Manuel Miranda, who like seems super cheesy and gay, but they're actually just straight.
I'm like, why as a man are you singing on a stage?
Well,
that's like the big question.
It also, I told you my Michael Bublé story, right?
No.
I was on the subway and I was like,
you're in
sort
the subway.
Of, I was on the subway and I was near like Canal Street and the doors open and I was standing right in front of the doors and Michael Bublé and a quartet of men were just singing at me on the platform. And I watched it. I'm not lying to you. I watched.
And they were the whole, like performing.
He was doing like some kind of video.
Like for James Corden, I'm sure.
Probably. No, this was like 2013, but then the doors closed and everyone on the subway just kind of like took a beat. And then just carried on.
Mm-hmm.
It was very weird.
No one wants to see that.
Only in New York. Asher starts singing "Oh Holy Night." He's good.
He's good. I thought it was going to be like really bad at first, and I braced myself. But then
when he hit the note, I was like, "Damn, he's good."
Killing it. And then EJ Global decides to weigh in, and she fully crashes the song.
She gets her pretty mess. She's like, "Oh yeah, I'm a singer."
She goes, fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voices. She goes, hit the high note.
And
she's heckling him, but then also singing along in her frog voice.
And everyone is so deeply uncomfortable. And like people are kind of quietly mouthing the words, but like no one is.
You don't sing when someone else has a microphone and they are singing to you, unless they say like, everyone sing it. But Oh Holy Night is not a sing-along song. It never has been, never will be.
And Diana's sitting right in front of her and
she's sitting next to her.
She kind of like, with like a grin and bear it smile, just keeps looking back at her as if to say, shut the fuck up. Ah! And her eyes are closed. Like she's feeling it. And then Garcelle looks over and Garcelle goes, I think Erica misses the attention.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, damn, it's true.
EJ...
I was screaming.
I was dead.
Hit the high note.
Go for it. Hit the high note.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Fall on your knees.
Fall on your knees.
You're Fergie.
And yeah, the angel vibe.
And everyone's just kind of like, and everyone's just wading through the discomfort.
Yeah. This is a moment where, like,
someone should say,
shut the fuck up.
Hey, Erica, shut up.
Yeah.
Like, Rinna should have been like, stop. Just hold it.
Yeah, everyone, like, I do appreciate her pushing people to places of discomfort. And she's boundary pushing. And I do love that. But again, I was like, why is no one telling her?
She's in a twilight.
No one in Beverly Hills will ever tell you anything.
She's in sort of like the rock bottom of like substance. Like, I've been there. It's like, it's, you kind of exist in this like twilight netherworld where it's just like you're almost like half dreaming all the time.
But also, I kind of don't believe that. I think that this is maybe a diversion tactic. The like getting fucked up as like her storyline or whatever.
Maybe.
Like, I think it's half real, half manufactured. Like, she's hamming it up and is like playing that. So instead of talking about like all the latest trial stuff.
She seems pretty drunk.
I mean, no, I think she is drunk.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I think that it's like, if they're talking, if my storyline is like, I'm so drunk all the time and this is how I'm like coping. Then we're not going to talk about the ins and outs of this like trial.
Oh, wait, we didn't even talk about her getting hit whacked with a $50 million served papers at the airport coming home from Hawaii.
Yeah. But also, like, how is she going to pay that?
I mean,
she doesn't have 50. I guess they would put like a lien on her income from the show.
I guess. Also, Diana's son's girlfriend is Rachel Roy and Damon Dash's daughter.
Yeah.
Didn't realize that.
Power families merging.
Kathy spills fries all over the floor. She goes, sorry, I didn't mean to.
EJ sits down with Rinna and she goes, I'm lit.
Kathy, I'm lit.
Girl, I'm so lit.
She goes, I need to talk to you. I wanted to talk to you in person. She goes, I can't, I can't.
She goes, I just want to say, I wanted to come to Paris's wedding. I didn't want to bring the shame, the shame. And I was like, damn, she is filled with shame. And I get that. And I feel for her in this moment.
Kathy goes, you know, it's totally fine. You could have at least responded to the invite and said you couldn't come. But
did respond. She said, at least you responded.
Oh, I thought she said she didn't.
No, she said you responded. And that was like,
I respect everyone's
and I respect that.
Oh, my God. She says again.
Weeping.
I didn't want to bring shame onto something that should have been so beautiful. So beautiful.
Diana goes, it was beautiful. It was.
Tell Paris she looked gorgeous.
Give my love to Nikki in Paris.
And Kathy goes, to Carter in Paris. And then everyone goes, to Carter in Paris. And then she goes, let me say to you, by the way, Kathy, does she look beautiful? Again. Kyle keeps cutting Erica slack. And it's getting really uncomfortable. It's getting weird.
Yeah, Kathy goes over to like the rest of the girlies and she's like, she's out of control. And then they all talk about EJ and Kyle is like codependent. Like Kyle's big takeaway. I'm just baffled that her big takeaway from the Kim scenario is that you can't put the label of an alcoholic or drug addiction or substance abuse on someone because it could be really damaging. But I'm like,
what are you talking about, Kyle?
Yeah, I was like, but
Kim was an alcoholic.
She was an alcoholic.
She was a drug addict.
It's not like a label. When
she said it herself.
The truth.
Even Kathy, when Kyle said that, Kathy kind of looked like it's like,
that's the same thing. That's very similar to kind of like the tweets you're describing is like, it's being like, this is so bad. It's like, you think you're being like a
ally.
Yeah, ally, and like not trying to like stigmatize anything or label anyone. But by saying you can't do that and it's so bad, you're actually making it more shameful than if everyone was just honest and they were like, yeah, she's fucking drinking too much and it's weird. And she's acting weird.
You're right. It makes the stigma worse.
Yeah.
And it makes it more powerful and more isolating.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the... Yeah, exactly.
Anytime you try and shut down a conversation about anything, it always makes whatever topic that is worse.
And then EJ says she's talking with Diana and...
Rinna,
and she goes, you know who inspired me to take care of my mental health? She goes, Amelia Gray. She goes, and now I'm on Lexapro and also Wellbutrin and other things.
Rinna goes, put the drink down. And EJ goes, no.
Rinna, to her credit, is at this point being like, all right, bitch, let's get this together.
Yeah. She's a perfect mixture of good friend, but also is going to kind of let it play out as it needs to for the camera.
Yeah. She's a rat.
I'm obsessed with Rinna. I'm back to being just like full-blown Rinna stan. Her outfit that she wore to Watch What Happens Live, she looked incredible.
Yeah, she looks incredible all the time.
Showed up in a Saint Laurent jumpsuit. She's fully just wearing like a skin-tight rose cat suit.
Irma Vep.
She's Irma Vep.
Which I didn't finish yet.
I'm trying, but it really...
Irma Vep low-key fell off.
Irma Vep fell off.
I love saying low-key fell off.
Pretty much by the end of the first episode, I was like, whew, this is requiring a lot from me.
Deanna is... She goes, what is she... She goes, I can't read my handwriting.
Kyle goes, we got to cut her some slack about Rinna, or about EJ. And Garcelle goes, you can cut her some slack. And Kyle's so like nervous about saying anything. The blind loyalty. It's just like.
It's codependency. It's Kyle's complete codependent.
But
it's like,
what does Erica have on Kyle?
It's. I don't think. I honestly think it's.
She's just scared that she won't like her. Or she'll be mad at her.
Yeah, I think Kyle is like, Kyle needs, I've never seen someone desperately needing Al-Anon more than Kyle.
EJ gets carried out by Rinna.
That was sad.
Yeah, I was just glad she didn't like fall on camera or do something. Like, her antics are embarrassing, but she hasn't like, I've seen worse.
They go, do you want to sleep here? And she goes, no, no, no. Who do you think I am? Diana... then apologizes to Garcelle for how she treated her at her own birthday.
I love that. And she tops off the apology by going, I can see it in your eyes that you like me. And Garcelle laughs. And I was like, that's incredible to say to someone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to pocket that and use it for the future.
And for some reason, Garcelle going, well, I'm going to go, but Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and have a great night. It kind of freaked me out.
Yeah, I think she's Hollywood fake.
Yeah, for sure. But it just like, I'm like, damn, she's good.
Mm-hmm.
How withering even that sounds.
And she's very like, she'll always do the right thing. Like, she's a gracious guest and like says goodbye and like is direct about it. But it's loaded and it is like...
Garcelle's loaded.
I'm fucking out of here.
But I love.
Yeah.
Kathy hides Kyle's purse, which is funny. Mm-hmm. She goes... What? I didn't do anything. She goes, Kyle, you never look in the right spot.
But I'm also like, low-key, I fucking hate Kathy now.
And you know, Kathy...
I'm like, this is weird, like, that she continues to do this to Kyle, even though they've had, like, they've been beefing, you know what I mean? So it's, like, weird to do... It's, like, a power play that's not landing as, like, truly funny. Like, no, Kyle... last season when they were friends... And they were like doing the martini jokes and stuff. Like, that seems funny, but this seems like
hurtful.
Yeah.
Kyle looked embarrassed.
Yeah, it just wasn't sitting right with me.
So then we head over to the Kimsleys.
Dorit and PK's farmhouse of horrors.
PK goes, he comes into the room and he goes, oh, I'm so jaded. And Dorit goes, jaded? And he goes, oh, you know, in the UK, it means something different. I'm like, what?
Does it though?
No, you're lying. You just don't know that. So I guess I didn't realize PK had gotten arrested for a DUI.
No one did because no one cared. He got arrested for suspicion of a DUI, but then let go.
They're giving me
just got pulled over.
We got taken to the station.
Yeah, but then released with a ticket.
They're giving me Teddy Mellencamp a little.
This fight was fake.
My mom said the same thing. She always calls me. She goes, that was rehearsed.
That was rehearsed.
PK got arrested. He called Mauricio before he called Dorit, I think. Or Mauricio called. Mauricio knew about the DUI, we find out later, and didn't tell Kyle.
Yeah.
But Dorit was sort of like, oh, PK, one thing you know about me is I don't like lying. Do not lie in our marriage ever, PK. I will not tolerate any dishonesty. I will stand forth. Henceforth, you shall not lie to me again. And he goes, oh, baby, I won't lie to you.
That was a really good PK.
Thanks.
Yeah, I was just like, this is fake and I don't care.
I didn't get it. Like, so he got, and she goes, he goes, after, he says, any husband, ask any husband anywhere, after all the things you've been through recently, did you think I really wanted to call you at 4 a.m. in the morning and get you to come out to the station and pick me up? You would have been terrified and triggered. And she goes, Oh, BK, I wouldn't have.
She said, you don't have to call me at 4 a.m, but like, tell me. I was just like, oh my God, shut the fuck up. And if this is even real, then I'm grossed out that she's parenting a grown man baby.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't like these conversations. And
he's old as hell.
Yeah, but I was like, if that's what you have to look forward to,
good luck
in
to
a
you.
In a relationship with a man where you are like telling him how to just communicate and be like a regular human being, and like you're dressing him down like he's one of your kids.
Yeah, it's not
fucking
good.
Fucking miss me with that.
Yeah.
Erica's publicist, Jack, it's like he's got his work cut out for him.
I know. I love Rinna appearing at Erica's door with an umbrella, and she looked like Pennywise.
She's slender man.
Mm-hmm. Mikey and Erica and Rinna just kind of talk about everything happening.
Rinna goes, did you black out when you got home? Knowing that, like, I'm sure they pre-convoed at this. She goes, do you black out when you got home? And EJ goes, yeah, I hit my head. She goes, oh.
That was?
She goes, and then I vomited.
I was like, fuck.
I was like, damn. Double homicide.
Go to rehab. She could, like,
or just, like, put the booze down. I get that she wants to, like, if this is truly real and not just a manufactured storyline.
Laura's trusting nothing.
I trust no one at this point. If this is real, I'm sure it's somewhere in the middle. I get that she wants to, like, cut loose and have fun and let her hair down. But, like, you're not going to be able to truly do that because you have a lot of darkness on your plate right now. Like, you're still in the fucking mud of this whole scandal. And, like, no matter how much you drink or if you fucking smoke PCP or take acid, like, you're probably not going to have that great of a time because your life is in shambles.
You're being sued left and right.
Yeah, your husband is off in the fucking insane asylum. And you are now just taking the brunt of everyone's anger and blame, and nothing, no substance that you snort, inject, ingest is going to change that vibe. The only way out is through.
Jesus.
And also, like, you just better work, bitch.
We get just a rundown of how everyone's Christmas was, and Sutton goes, Sutton had COVID for Christmas and she was all alone because her kids were with their dad in Italy. And she goes, I bought myself a sapphire diamond.
I had to open something. I love that. Rinna and Mikey did have an intervention with EJ. And I was like, maybe she'll listen, maybe she won't. I don't really care. I'm not invested.
Yeah, I don't care either.
And I don't believe it. Or if I do, kind of when someone's on that journey, I'm like, I think I've learned enough to just be like, I'm not like, I don't care anymore.
Also,
if you know that you're not supposed to drink and you're going to be a little kooky girl, if you have a sip of alcohol on your little meds and you do it anyways, that's a you problem, not a me problem.
Also, it's kind of fun to watch.
Yeah. I'm like, love and light. You're really not really hurting anyone except yourself.
Then we head out to the Central Valley where Garcelle apparently lives. Where does she live? She lives like by the grapevine.
Yeah. It's far, far away. It's like no longer Los Angeles.
Garcelle's son, Jade, hates books. And I was like, he's going to Anarchapulco.
Yeah. Don't let him find out about Acapulco. The expat movement going on.
The way he was with his mom, I always forget like how mean middle schoolers are to their parents.
Mm-hmm.
Just being like unfriendly and like, God.
Real birth control moment for me.
Sutton arrives in the dead of night, COVID free and wearing a cute little leather jacket.
Zip up jacket.
Very teeny jacket.
She's Irma Vap.
Mm-hmm.
And she talks about her lonely little Christmas.
She goes, Jade, say hi to Sutton. And Jade goes, hi.
How do you boys not just like fucking kill your kids every day?
Literally. Boys are such little shits.
Oh, girls too. You think like,
hi.
Hey. I'd be like,
I will say I was always very polite.
Mm-hmm.
Different time. Different time. We were...
Sutton's just a lonely little girl.
She goes, Richard, the kids are with Christian and the new girlfriend in Italy.
Isn't that just... They're in love. They'll probably get engaged. That adds insult to injury.
Then they talk about EJ's drinking and Garcelle goes, you know, we should really look into it. And then Sutton goes... And I was
detective.
Like, in her head, I imagined her putting her little cap on. But then Sutton goes, I will not be looking into this. Don't ask me to dig any deeper.
She was tempted
to get her Perry Mason on. And then she was like, nope.
She had her monocle, was like fingering it in her pocket. But then was like, I swore off of private eye work long ago. And I shan't be putting that hat on again.
She goes, Garcelle, don't try to pull me back into that line of work.
I want like a pilot episode about like Garcelle pulling Sutton back into the world, the wild world of LA. Private investigation.
Yeah, like
dark noir investigation.
Like a missing woman, and Garcelle's like, "You gotta come back.
I think we should look into it." And she goes,
"I've seen about enough.
I told you I can't get involved again.
I left it all behind so I could go
on a
run
date.
A turnip farm.
I'm trying to date." I'm trying to be different. I'm trying to find love. Dorit goes over to
Sutton
Kyle.
Sutton should own Rock of Love.
Sutton should have her own dating show.
I also think she's fearing being killed at every passing moment.
Sutton.
She's afraid of like.
Is similar in a lot of ways to Vicky Gumbelson, if you really think about it. They're cut from the same cloth. They're both like shonked at everything that happens. And their default mode when overwhelmed is a true like. What is this?
Fearing death
and also being like not knowing what anything is, which we'll get to in a bit. But I was clocking it hard in Miss Sutton's strike.
Dorit heads over to Kyle's house and Kyle says something like vaguely British and she goes, oh, every time you're around, I think about London, she says to Dorit. And Dorit goes, well, that makes sense.
Dorit goes,
what?
I just can't believe the headlines. And Kyle goes, what headlines? Dorit's like, all the headlines. I was like, honey, this was not a headline because
it was the Daily Mail.
The Daily Mail every single day. I read the celebrity verticals and I never even saw this news of PK getting arrested or pulled over and ticketed, essentially, never got on my radar. So therefore, it was not a thing, but Dorit is haunted by headlines.
Have you seen the papers? The headlines, they're everywhere. It's like it's in like the Chiron, like scrolling.
It's like right when you scroll before you finally get to the very end of the Daily Mail. It's like Dorit like lasted on that website for maybe like 30 minutes before it was outpaced by other stories.
But the most interesting part of this whole interaction was Kyle admits that Mauricio and PK really only tell each other stuff. They don't really include the wives in what's happening.
They have their own relationship. That's called just having your own relationship.
Obviously it's a friendship confiding in each other, but like there's something sinister happening with these two.
What? They're probably like getting their dick sucked together.
That's what I'm saying.
At the Beverly Hills Hotel.
They're like, they're up to no good.
They're bad boys.
They're like Nightcrawler together.
Fine. I love Dorit goes, he loves Mo. He'd take a bullet for him, Kyle. And Kyle just laughs. She's like, what are you talking about? But also, I think Kyle has reason to be concerned. I feel like if anything, Mauricio could pull PK into like a dead hooker situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or vice versa.
They buried a body or two together.
That's what I'm saying. It feels like they know where the bodies are buried and they're like, you know.
They're getting like blow done off their dicks together.
Or their holes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What if they were in like a sexual love affair with each other?
Maybe.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Sutton goes on a date with Sunjet from The Bumble, she calls.
This is a truly what not to do on a date. From top to bottom, from just the outfit alone.
When he, for some reason, I thought Sunjet at one point said, I'll try the pills. And my immediate went to Propecia. Because he needs it.
Yeah, the balls.
But he's cute.
He is cute. I like Sunjet. I would love for them to like go on another date off camera. Because I think also the being on camera of it all really flustered Miss Strake. But like,
he's a good guy. He seems like he has his shit together and he seems genuinely interested in Sutton. But she's fucking weird.
Sutton dresses like this outfit. And I know that Sutton can dress sexy and look hot. This outfit was like sexless and childlike. And there's something that
she was regressing.
This is a trend too that like I really have to watch myself from falling into is like the urge to be like little girl, like
the feminine urge to be
the feminine urge to go like full little girl, like it's almost like cottage cores, but it is like, I'm just 9. It's like, there's a huge calling right now to grown ass women to dress like toddlers and you simply must resist it. It's hard. It's hard.
It is. Yeah, they're like,
don't wear a kitten. You don't wear on a second date with a man that you might want to fuck. Do not wear your kitten sweater. Save it for a girl's night.
Yeah.
Yeah. Save it for a gay's night.
That was dark.
That was just, it's dark. And then she's like, she walks into this restaurant and she's looking around. The hostess leads her to the table. She goes, is this like a pizza place? I was like, Sutton, get a fucking grip, girl.
And she starts itching and she goes, I'm itching because I have neuropathy.
Okay.
Well, I was like, why are you talking about itching right now?
You're literally.
You want his dick? It's going to go.
Itching is not. Yeah. Don't talk about itching on a date.
And then at one point she goes, I love music. Well, though, this part made me like, oh, I love her.
Her growing up in the 80s.
Sutton was like in the like punk new wave early 80s, like CGBG scene. CBGBs.
Was she though? I mean,
I actually think Sutton was like in the mix. I see her being in like the downtown scene in New York.
I need Sutton to get like a good. She needs to be like serviced by a man. I think she should have like a sex worker situation.
I feel like Sunjit would go down on her.
Yeah,
he's probably a good lover, but she's not gonna get. She's not gonna get. Like, what?
You're literally like, he's tantric.
No, I just think like Sanjay.
I get a sexy vibe from Sanjay.
Yeah, I feel like he's like good in bed but she's
sexy and smart and she's.
She's not going to get any because she's talking about her itchiness.
She's itching her foot before Din Din and wearing like a sexless cute jumper with a kitten on it.
It was bad. Also, I just have to say I got an ad on my Peacock because I on my computer and it was a Hilton ad. I was like,
they're trying to get you. Garcelle? Are you Hilton Honors?
No.
Me neither.
Fuck no. I'm Marriott. Bon Boy baby. Garcelle and Erica meet at that awful bar that we went to.
Which one?
That was the bar we went to in Hollywood. That night where we were like in a sea of straight men.
On the roof?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, because you could see Beauty and Essex and the Dream Hotel. Remember we were like...
Remember those like heat lamps that were like the biggest lamps we've ever seen?
Do you remember walking through the crowd and being somehow feeling small even though they weren't taller than us?
Yeah.
That was...
Wow.
Harrowing.
What a night.
Yeah.
There they are, chatting on that roof. Just about... EJ's basically like, can I have a tea? And the woman is there. She's like, we don't do like hot drinks or something weird. And then she goes, well, I'll have a cognac then.
And then Garcelle goes, wow, tea or cognac?
But also I'm like, Garcelle, you're being annoying. Like, stop counting all the drinks. You need Al-Anon. Everyone needs Al-Anon.
Garcelle doesn't need Al-Anon. She just needs like...
She's like, annoying, let it go.
Annoying on.
Yeah, like, you can't... Like,
Stop being annoying.
It's, if you truly don't want to hang out with someone because they're drinking too much, you just don't hang out with them.
But that's, I get the vibe and I kind of, I understand this. I think Garcelle
has to hang out with her because they're on a show together.
That plus I think she's morbidly curious.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I think Garcelle is like kind
she's
of.
She's trying to, she's putting her investigative journalism hat on. She's like, if Sutton won't investigate, I have no choice but to pick up. This is the sequel.
Picking up the slack from my partner.
Sherlock Holmes too.
She's Watson.
Sutton goes, I simply can't. I'm out. I'm out forever. I'm trying to find love. But you take the lead on this one. And Garcelle picks up the monocle and puts it on. And this is where the story continues.
Garcelle drove the hour and a half it took to get to LA from wherever the fuck she lives.
And Garcelle lives in Bakersfield.
She lives really far. No, I think it's like North Calabasas. It's like north of Calabasas almost.
It the setting of where her house is,
it's like Santa Barbara.
Like nothing I've seen in Los Angeles proper.
I feel like it must be like Hidden Hills.
She's crossed the county line.
Maybe. But she Erica goes, you know, Garcelle, I think she goes, you have to know this. Sutton is a liability for you. And Garcelle's like, wait,
what?
Like, you're saying this woman is a liability?
I love her going, Erica Jane is the most scandalous woman in America right now. There is no one that is more of a walking liability than this woman.
And she's saying Sutton Strack is a liability.
Yeah. She's the master of her own destruction. I was like, no, she's not.
You're talking about yourself right now.
You.
You're on a rooftop bar in Hollywood talking about yourself.
Yeah. You're literally...
You are the master.
Drinking brown liquor whilst pilled out. Like, you are mastering your own destruction.
While being sued.
Yeah. Your life floats from one lawsuit to the next. Your belongings are continually being repossessed.
See, but that's why I'm kind of like, I'm loving it because like that's just such a ridiculous, untrue statement. And I just love her saying it with gusto.
No, and I love it too. And I don't want her to get sober. I'll say. I don't want anyone on reality TV to get sober. True, if I'm being perfectly truthful.
I think that's a truth that people are afraid to say, but.
That's part of the genre is when you get sober, you are no longer fun on reality television.
I mean, I'm saying I want Dorina to get sober, but then I'm also like, but it's so fun.
No, I want Dorinda to just have a new... Did I say this to you? Did I say this on the pod?
I don't know.
I want Ultimate Girls Trip to just take place at Bluestone Manor.
Yeah, you did.
And have like a rotating.
And just Dorinda be the.
And just Dorinda abuses and rage as a rageaholic. And it's just like, who will she rage at next? That's a show I would watch for all of eternity. I don't want any I don't want sobriety in the realm of reality television. Sorry.
Well,
another day.
That was a good episode.
Of RHOBH. I was kind of bored. Oh. I thought it started off with a bang, and then about halfway through, I was like,
I think we're just biding our time for Faggate, and it's happening soon. And I think
we don't get to Aspen soon. TikTok.
Guys, write in if you want to send reader mail to our Patreon.
Well, you have to join the Patreon.
You have to join the Patreon first. $5 a month.
Then
great deal.
No, it's $6 a month.
$6 a month. Great deal. And then you can write in an email to get your either email or voice memo read aloud.
Yeah.
Or listened to on the bonus episode.
You really become part of the conversation.
Yeah, you actually don't really marinate in sup until you've joined the page.
Yeah. It's a such strong community of lawlers.
Love it.
Kings
God
and
love
queens.
You.
And theys and thems, royalty, the lot of them.
We love you all.
Bye.
Sexy Unique Podcast is created and hosted by me, Lara Marie Shane Halls. This episode was co-hosted by the one and only Carrie O'Donnell. This episode was edited by Ness Smith Savadoff.
If you like what you heard today, please be sure to subscribe to Sexy Unique Podcast on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you're craving more sup and just can't get enough and want access to things like bonus episodes, tons of premium content, as well as ad-free episodes of the pod, consider supporting the podcast on Patreon. You can find out more at patreon.com/sexyuniquepodcast.